Luke 24, let's take a look, verses 46 through 49. He told them, that is, Jesus told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then over in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Lord, thank you for the privilege that is ours to hear your word. We don't have any fear as this word is being preached that someone's going to come rushing in and threaten us with our life, that we have an opportunity to grow and hear and obey your word. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us in power to receive what you have for us, to understand what you have for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've ever had the opportunity, and I hope you have, if you've been a Christian for a while, if you've ever had a chance to read through the entire Bible, particularly in the New Testament, we did New Testament Challenge last year, you probably picked up on the fact that the Holy Spirit is actively involved in every aspect of your Christian life. In fact, if you are sitting here today and you know Jesus as Savior, that is, you have experienced his salvation, you've asked him to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you and to take up lordship of your life, if you did that, you couldn't have done that without the Holy Spirit. Because see, it's the role of the Holy Spirit to draw you to Christ. Jesus said, "No one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And how does the Father draw? Through the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin. It's the Holy Spirit that's working, that when you came to Christ and you just knew that you knew, wow, I need Jesus. You didn't figure that out on your own. It wasn't because you were so smart you could figure that out. It even wasn't because you just read it somewhere. It's the Holy Spirit made that truth come alive for you, and you knew that you needed Jesus. But once the Holy Spirit brought you to Jesus, at that point of salvation, the Holy Spirit didn't just say, "Okay, gotcha, see ya, next." The Holy Spirit then applied the work of Jesus in your life. It was the Holy Spirit, according to Titus chapter 3 and John chapter 3, that was actively at work that made you born again, that regenerated you and washed you clean. It was the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, that took up residence inside you and bore witness with you that you were God's child. It was the Holy Spirit that, in taking up residence within you, sealed you so that everyone knows you belong to Jesus. But not only did the Holy Spirit bring you to Jesus, not only did the Holy Spirit apply in your life the work of Jesus, the Holy Spirit didn't just take off after you were saved and said, "See ya." The Holy Spirit began a work of making you look like Jesus. Romans 8 and Galatians 5 tell us that it's the work of the Holy Spirit that begins to transform us from the inside out, producing fruit in our lives. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to show us how to reckon dead the old man and live a new life in Christ. But it's also the work of the Holy Spirit not only to bring us to Christ, to apply in our lives the work of Christ, and to conform us to the image of Christ, it is the work of the Spirit to empower us to proclaim Christ, to make him known. Jesus said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth." And it is on this point that I want to pick up and tie it into our series on connections. Our current sermon series is about how we connect the gospel to those who don't know Christ. And we've been using the biblical basis that we saw in John 4 and Acts 17, that we connect people to Christ by connecting to their core need, like Jesus did the woman at the well, and like Paul did when he connected to Eden's echo when he started with the altar to the unknown God. And so we have been looking at core needs that people have out there, core needs that we have in here. The need to be loved is one of those core needs we examine. Every human being has a longing in their heart to be unconditionally loved. And if you tell me that you don't, probably somewhere along the way you got hurt, and so you put up a wall so you don't feel it. But the need is still there. Every human being in the core of their being wants to be loved, not because they did something, not because they earned something, but simply because of love you. We have the answer to that. God is a God of love who loves them. Then we took a look at the core need of security. Everybody has this need to be safe and secure. And as the world gets crazier around us, the greater that need is becoming pronounced. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to connect people. But here's the problem. How do we do that? We know that Jesus meets the need. How do we do it? Now here's where we mess up. Sometimes we listen to somebody long enough to hear the core need, and then we come at them with the answer, which isn't bad, except we come at them with the answer. With our ability, our strength, our smart. Folks, connecting isn't about our cuteness. Connecting isn't about manipulatively changing the conversation to get our agenda accomplished so we can put a notch in our belt. Connecting isn't about you being intellectual enough or smart enough to figure out how to make a connection. Connecting is about you walking in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that wants to make the connection to Jesus, just like he did in your life. It is the Holy Spirit that will draw people to Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that will convict people of their need of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that will apply the work of Christ. So your job and my job is to catch the wave. Catch the wave of the Spirit. And let the Spirit of God carry you to do this. Now, when the early church caught the wave at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the wave was quite big. In fact, 3,000 people came to Christ the first day. And a few days or weeks later, another 5,000. And it went exponential from there to today, over 2.1 billion people in our world profess faith in Jesus Christ. They're getting saved so fast they can't keep up with the discipleship and training. All from 120 people crammed in an upper room praying for God's promise of power. You and I aren't smart enough, strong enough, cute enough, charismatic enough to do what needs to be done. We need more than we have in ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus has this equipping power available for us to make the connection. Well, hopefully by now there's a little bit of motivation. You're like, maybe I should be one of those who gets that power. Good, we've accomplished the introduction to the message. Because I was hoping to stir within you your heart that please don't just say, it's the pastor that will be anointed. It's the elders that will be anointed. It's the teachers. I'm a nobody. The Bible makes it clear that this anointing is available to every believer that's here today. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is available to you. You do not have to witness in your own power, your own strength, your own charisma, your own cuteness. You don't have to try to manipulate people with your agenda and get them in. You can be led by the Spirit in connecting. And I would love to see an entire church filled with people who have caught the wave of the Spirit. So how do I catch the wave? Well, let's take a look at that. First of all is this. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Take a look at Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Excuse me. Pastor, I thought you said a moment ago that I already have the Holy Spirit. I did. When you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside you. So why are you telling me I need to ask for what I already have? Good question. Some of this ground we've covered before in different contexts, but let me just, if I could, go back over, because there's some folks that didn't hear it the first time, and it doesn't hurt to remind those of us who've heard it before. In John chapter 20, flip over there, in John chapter 20, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So Jesus went, "Receive Holy Spirit." Now, John 20 took place on the night of the day Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So on that Sunday morning, Jesus was raised from the dead. That Sunday evening, Jesus goes into the upper room and says to his disciples, "Receive Holy Spirit." Okay? No question about that. It's in the text. But go back to Luke 24. He told them, verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written, that Christ will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to," did you catch that? "I am going to send you," right? "I'm going to send you," which implies it's not yet been sent. "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Luke 24, when did that take place? The same time as John 20. Either Jesus is confused, Jesus is wrong, or there's two different works of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I have real problem putting my faith in a confused, wrong Jesus. Of course, Jesus wasn't confused. He knew who the Holy Spirit was. Jesus isn't wrong. He's sinless. He's never made a mistake like that. So what's the answer? The answer is this. When Jesus breathed on them that night, when he showed up and they were having a conniption, thinking he was a ghost, he said, "Peace I leave with you. Receive Holy Spirit." What he's doing is similar to what took place in Genesis. The same word gets used in John as it gets used in Genesis when God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. That God breathed into Adam and he gained physical life. The Son of God breathed into his disciples and they gained spiritual life. The new covenant has now been inaugurated. The new covenant has now been introduced. The new covenant required Jesus to die and rise again from the dead. It took place. Those disciples are the first New Testament born-again believers in the new covenant. Boom! Spiritual life. The Spirit has taken up residence in them. They are now indwelt by the Spirit. They now have fulfilled the prophetic scripture about God putting his Spirit in them and washing them clean and bringing a rebirth and moving them to obey his laws. The inward dwelling of the Spirit is now complete. But Jesus knows there's more. And that's why the same night he says to his disciples, "You're going to be witnesses, but not until you get the power. You have the Spirit indwelling, but there's more coming, Spirit outpouring." Flip over to the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 4. This is weeks later, just before Jesus rises from the dead. It's been almost 40 days since Jesus went, "Receive Holy Spirit." It's been 40 days since Jesus gave them a promise. Just wait, don't leave the city until you get the promise of my Father. Here in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about.'" Now, he's talking to them after he's already breathed on them to receive the Spirit. So what he's talking about here is different from what already took place in them. He said, John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The word baptize in the Greek carries with it the idea of immersion. If I could put it this way, when you became a believer, the Spirit took up residence in you. When you receive the anointing or empowering, you are immersed in the Spirit. You are saturated with the Holy Spirit. And it's that saturation that we see fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 when verse 1 says, the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That is the fulfillment of the promise of the Father that Jesus made on resurrection evening and repeated during the 40-day period. So they received the Spirit at salvation, the indwelling of the Spirit that brought salvation and the transformation of their life, but there was an anointing and empowering of the Spirit that when that came upon them, Jesus said, you're going to have the power you need to be my witnesses. And once you look through the book of Acts, you find out what that motley group of people did. They turned a world upside down. Not because they were smart enough, not because they were clever enough, not because they were cute enough, not because they were charismatic, but because the Spirit of God was resting on them. Again and again, you will see the Spirit at work through their lives, directing the church, telling them where to go on missions trips, how to go about reaching someone. They were constantly being moved. We call this book the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It has been said the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, because the Holy Spirit is evident throughout the entire book. He's directing everything. Now, what's sad is that so often we come to a place in our world where we're not walking in that kind of power or that kind of anointing. It's almost like we said, all right, I guess the Holy Spirit was needed to jumpstart the church, but not really needed anymore. Excuse me, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing and empowering of the Holy Spirit if we're ever going to do what God calls us to do for the kingdom. We're never going to see this thing turn around in Schoharie County just by trying with our sheer programs and machinery and mechanics. It will take a work of God through the saints of God who have prayed for and are walking in His anointing. Do some of you believe that? All right, so this is available. This Peter said later on in this chapter, he said, this gift is available for you, your children, and as many as are far off, as the Lord our God shall call. He quotes from the book of Joel where it says, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That it's no longer restricted to prophets, priests, or kings. It's no longer restricted to just a few. It's open to everybody. And it's no longer regarded of class. It can be the upper class. It could be the lower class. It's not in terms of sex. It could be male or female. This anointing is available to every single believer. It's not restricted to age. The old people can get it and the young people can get it. God envisioned, Jesus preached and envisioned a church that was Spirit full, where they had been saved and the Spirit took up residence, and that they had been overflowed and the Spirit rested on them in the anointing. A Spirit-full church is what God intended. And my challenge from God to you is that God would raise us to cause us to rise up to that bar. That we wouldn't settle for crumbs when God has invited us to the table. That we wouldn't meander along in our own power and strength, trying so hard to accomplish God's purposes, but energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we would do God's work, God's way, for God's glory. And that all of us would walk in that anointing. So I go back to that passage in Luke 11. How do I get that kind of anointing? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And so we start with ask, and we ask, and we cry out to God, and we ask. But that's step one. Step two, not only do we want to ask for the filling of the Spirit, number two, we want to be continually filled with the Spirit. Continually filled, what do you mean? Well, in Acts chapter 1, God promised that the power was going to come very shortly. In Acts chapter 2, they're filled with the power, right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All filled, right? Yet in two chapters later, chapter 4, I think it's right around Acts 4:8, Peter is brought before the Sanhedrin along with the Apostle John. They have to give an account for healing somebody. They have to go before the healing police. And it says, and Peter filled with the Spirit. Hey, now wait a minute. I thought he got filled back in chapter 2. What happened in chapter 4? New task. New task, new anointing. And then later on in chapter 4, after they are released from the Sanhedrin, they go to the room where they were meeting, and they shared what happened, and then they just started storming heaven in prayer. Oh, God, we know what's happening is exactly what you foreordained. And what we're praying for is that you would stretch forth your hand and do signs and wonders. And we're praying, God, that you would give us boldness to preach the way we should. You know what the text says? The place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. That happened in Acts 2. It happened in Acts 4. What's happening? New ministry, new anointing. Some folks I know will say, well, you know, Pastor, 30 years ago I was at the altar and I got the anointing. And what have you done with it since? You've leaked. You're like Vivian's tire. You leaked. You're flat. You remember the glory days of yesteryear, but you haven't walked in the anointing in decades. New task, new anointing, fresh anointing. Too often we rely on what we had in the past when God wants to stretch us and move us into a place we haven't been before. And with that new place, you need new anointing. Think about the deacon Philip. He's ministering away at Samaria. He's having a grand old time. There's revival. God's doing it. And then God says, Philip, I want you to go to nowhere. Well, that's what he said. Basically, go to a desert road. What am I going to do there? Just go to the desert road. Go in the middle of nowhere. Okay. Philip, go to the chariot. Boom. When it's all said and done, that Ethiopian eunuch came to faith in Christ. And that Ethiopian eunuch, by tradition, was the founder of the Ethiopian church that still exists today. Because Philip had to do it differently. We tend to rely, I see this, especially when glory comes and awakenings come, we try to compare it to what was. Well, I remember when I was a teenager. Hallelujah, the glory fell. And I'm glad that it did in the 70s. And it did. But this isn't the 70s. This isn't the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. And what you did back then, God is calling, I believe, for a whole new way of doing it now. And you can't rely on the anointing you had 50 years ago. You need a fresh anointing today. You need a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit today. Thankful for what was, but we need something new for what God wants to do today. Because the awakening he's bringing will not be like it was, because if it was, we'd try to figure it out and do it on our own, and we'd make a mess out of it. God has us on a need-to-know basis. And right now, we don't need to know. Because if we knew it, I got the vision, storm down the gates. No, we're forced to wait, be quiet, and trust. And learn to be filled and walk in the Spirit. So I encourage you. It's like Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, and it's a present. Be continually filled with the Spirit. See, we want to live a Spirit-full life. You want to walk in the Spirit. You want to stay in step with the Spirit. You want to be motivated and prompted by the Spirit. You want the Spirit to direct you. Every aspect of your Christian life, you want to be Spirit-full. You want to be Spirit-bred, Spirit-fed, Spirit-led. You want to be Spirit-full. The Holy Spirit wants to do that within you and within me. He wants this to be God's kingdom breaking out on earth through his saints. We get to be part of that. So we want to be continually filled. We don't want to just get, you know, it was nice, but we want, oh, Lord, I want to stay full. I want to stay every day, Lord, for the challenges that I'm going to face, fill me with the Holy Spirit. For the challenges you're going to bring my, for the opportunities you're going to bring my way. Let me be full of the Spirit, because I'll probably miss it in my own strength. I might hear just enough, and instead of, like Paul says, let your speech be full of grace, seasoned with salt. If it's about me, I might hear a little opportunity and take the whole blasted container and pour all the salt on them and then wonder why they don't want what I have. Because I was doing it. Because I was trying to make it happen. I was trying to get them to say the prayer instead of letting the Holy Spirit direct the conversation. Jesus didn't start with the woman at the well. Hey, you're a whore, get saved. He started with, hey, I'm thirsty. Can I have something to drink? Huh? You're a Jew. You're a male and a Jew, and you're talking to me. Okay, you got my attention. And little by little, he leads her to living water. She gets saved, and the entire village gets saved. Jesus, empowered and led by the Spirit. We want that leading. We want that prompting. Because the right word at the right time brings transformation. When we catch the wave, the Holy Spirit makes the connection through us. All right, so we want to be filled. We want to be continually filled. What else is there, Pastor? Well, this is something that I want to spend a little bit of time on. We need to tune into the frequency of the Holy Spirit. Now, what are you talking about? As you all know, David goes to school in Houghton. When I drive to get him, I like to listen to K-Love. 107.3, I think it is, on my dial. It's a station out of Utica. And as I'm driving, I get to a point where that ends. And I have to tune in to K-Love, the next thing. I have to readjust my dial. It's broadcasting, I'm just not tuned in. The Holy Spirit is broadcasting, but we want to be tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is saying. We can go back there. Yeah, we want to tune in to the Spirit's frequency. We don't want to miss when the Holy Spirit speaks. We don't want to do anything to increase the static on the line. I had a car one time that was doing great until I broke the radio antenna. Didn't mean to break the radio antenna. Just sort of tweaked it, and it kind of got a bend in it. You don't get reception as well with a broken antenna. I found that out. Well, you know what? In our lives, there's certain things that we can do that increase the static on the line. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that's literally stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of. He seems to connect the two. That one of the ways we grieve is by holding on to bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. He really seems to be hitting on relationships in the body of Christ, doesn't he? He goes on to say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Paul seems to imply one of the biggest static producers on the broadcast of the Holy Spirit is when you and I can't get along. When I won't forgive you, when I harbor bitterness towards you, when I'm not in right relationship with you. Paul says a communion, it's so deadly, not only does it grieve the Spirit, it could cost you your life. Paul said that if we don't discern the Lord's body, we eat and drink damnation to ourselves. Paul said to the Corinthians, that's why many of you are weak, sick, and some of you have died. See, when we grieve the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is the one that brings life to us, do you want to grieve the life producer? Is it worth it to hold on to bitterness against your sister or brother just so you could say, I was right, when at the same time you're dying inside and grieving the Spirit? Oh, please, church, deal with whatever you might have against a brother or sister, even if that brother or sister is your spouse or your children. Or your parents. We don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. We need to have as clear frequency as possible to hear, no static on the line, to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying. We want to tune in to what the Spirit is saying, because often the Spirit's voice is not the shout. It's the whisper. It's the whisper. And if we're like, la, 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 we're not going to hear the whisper. Dot to the hand, face isn't listening. It's not going to work. But secondly, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, another danger is that we're not to put out the Spirit's fire. In the context, he's talking about the move of God and the Spirit working and people either ignoring it or rejecting it or trying to squelch it and shut it down. See, my dad one time, I remember this is years and years ago, my dad had received the anointing and empowering of the Spirit, and I don't remember all the details, but something happened where either he started to doubt, didn't believe it, quenched it or whatever, and he felt like he had lost something. And he went back to God and he said, Lord, please refill me and I'll never question you again. I'll do what you want. And God filled him and God changed my dad. And he became a bold witness for Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to quench. We don't want to grieve. We don't want to do anything that hinders the work of the Spirit. Because the Spirit isn't going to force himself on you. He's waiting for the open invitation. You want him. You want to be filled with him. You want to tune yourself to his frequency. Because he's going to speak to you. You're going to get that. Maybe it's a stirring in your heart. Maybe as you're reading the word, something jumps out at you. But God will speak to you. So that brings us to the last and final point is this. You got to follow. You got to not only tune in, you got to follow the Spirit's promptings. Now I got to tell you, sometimes the Holy Spirit says for us to do things that in our common sense don't make sense. They might put you out there, and you might feel like you're really risking. I know I have shared with you, some of you haven't heard, but the story of when I was serving as a presbyter and I had gone up to Petersburg for tent meetings. And there was not a large crowd there, but I was one of the officials there for the tent meetings. And the leader said, could the pastors come forward and please pray for people? And I remember going front, and there was someone there. And I went over, I laid hands on him, and I was beginning to pray for him. And I got the strongest sense from the Lord that he had a very important decision he needed to make. And that's why he was there. Now, at that point, I was afraid, well, what if I'm wrong? What if I start, Lord, you know he has a decision to make. I'm going to look stupid if I'm wrong. I know, not to us, but his name be glory, but at that time, I wasn't as sanctified, okay? I was more concerned about not looking stupid. I mean, it's embarrassing to say, but you know what? If I can't be transparent and authentic, neither will you. So that's where I was at. Anyone ever get to that place where you wonder, is this God is in me? Is it God is in me? So I wasn't going to do it. So here's what I was going to do. I was going to say, Lord, yeah, real spiritual, Lord, if he has to make a decision. That way I would be covered. Because if I was wrong, no harm, no foul. But if I was right, I'm good. And I really felt like the Lord's Spirit said, stop that. Don't you dare do that. When you've heard from the Lord like that, you have a real, real important choice you need to make. Run like Jonah or be obedient. So I gulped and I went, oh Lord, you know that this young man has come forward here and he has a difficult decision to make and he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. I pray that you'd give him the wisdom to know what he's supposed to do and the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I went and sat down. Service is over. Curiosity got the best of me. I ran up to him. He said, did that prayer resonate with you? You wouldn't believe it. Oh, try me. I'm up from Hudson all the way up here for these tent meetings because I have a difficult decision to make and I don't know which way to go. At that point, I said, excuse me, and I picked my jaw up off the ground and put it back in. I went, oh my Lord, you really did know what you were doing. I know it sounds stupid, but it's a small thing, but you know what it meant to that kid? God found him with a word at just the right time. This is what I'm talking about connections. This isn't about you seeing somebody and throwing everything your soul can think of to their soul. This is you walking in the Spirit, getting direction from the Spirit, doing the work of the Spirit, and letting the Spirit make the connection in such a way that God gets the glory, not you when it's done. Because you don't know that stuff. I didn't know this. I couldn't say, well, you know, I'm really good, aren't I? I'm not that good. I didn't know it. The only reason I knew it is because God, who knows everything, chose to share it. This is what we want to encourage you to do. Can you imagine the joy of wherever you are, you're walking and you're listening and you got the, oh, there it is, I hear it, ding, 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 ding. And you're just walking, all of a sudden you sense this prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now for some of you, if you got this, you might be having a coronary and we'd have to pray for the resurrection of the dead from you. But you're walking down the aisle and you see somebody going by in a wheelchair with a broken leg. You know where I'm going with this. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit hits you and says, I want you to pray for them. I'm going to raise them up right now. Lord, this is the deli section of Price Chopper. This isn't right. It's not church. I'm going to call Pastor Ray. No, don't call me. I won't take your call. I'll tell you, have you talked to Jesus yet?
No.
Well, you talk to Jesus first. Don't talk to me. You talk to him. You pray, not P. Ray, okay? You don't want Pastor Ray, you want pray, P-R-A-Y. And so, what if God did that to you? Would you be willing to step out in faith and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Can you imagine what that poor girl would be doing all over the store? Click, 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 with a little cast. I'm healed! She's jumping and dancing. And God would get the glory because you didn't know. Pastor, I couldn't do something like that. Why not? Why not? Because I don't really have a good reason why not. I've already shown you from the Word of God that the anointing is available to every believer. I've already showed you how God wants to fill you. You just got to ask. Walk in the anointing and the fullness of it. Tune into the frequency of the Spirit and do what He tells you to do. Do you know what it's like when you catch the wave? See, when you catch the wave, you are empowered to connect people to Christ. When you catch the wave, you are empowered to connect people to Christ. This whole series, okay, as important as I believe God has given me the word about connecting, this is critical. Because if all you do is hear what I tell you about connecting, it becomes one more program that you try to do. This, catch the wave, takes it to the supernatural dimension beyond you. It takes it to the place where, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be glory. The kingdom is enlarged, the reign comes, and God is glorified. Who wants it? I'm going to open the altar up. This is the close. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite everyone up to the altar. If worship comes, there's no other dismissal. If you feel like you need to leave, I understand that. But I invite anyone that wants to come up and wants the anointing and the fullness, you come forward. Father, a brief word, but a word straight from your heart. This Connect series isn't about our soul and our smarts trying to connect to someone else's soul and mind. This is about the Holy Spirit in a yielded vessel, making a connection empowered by the Spirit so that someone finds Christ. Lord, I know there's some folks here that years ago could testify, boy, I had the anointing, but for decades, they've leaked. There's others that haven't yet walked in the anointing, but they are so hungry, they're saying, Lord, please. There's others that this was the first time they heard about this, didn't even know there was an anointing. Lord, wherever we are in our pilgrimage, I pray that we would come hungry and say, Lord, fill me. This gift, I want it. I receive it. Let me be filled with the Spirit. I know the Spirit is in me. I'm saved. I know Jesus, but I want to walk in your anointing to see people come to Christ. So, Lord, I pray, fill me. And, Lord, don't just fill me. Saturate me. Let me be continually filled with the Spirit. Lord, I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to quench you. I want to tune into the frequency and be obedient to the leading and prompting of the Spirit. I want to be part of preparing for rain, Lord. I want to be part of the answer to the prayer of your kingdom coming. Accomplish your purpose, I pray, in your body. In Jesus' name. Come on down, church. Kneel, stand. If you want to know the filling of the Spirit, that anointing, don't wait for someone else. You just come on down. Say, Lord, fill me. Fall on your face before God. God wants to give you that gift more than you can even ask for it. Hallelujah.